Swinging spells down the street, same old decks we played last week. It's MTG in quarantine. We're all alright, we're all alright. MTG in Quarantine Podcast.
Heyo, what is up, everybody? My name is MJ, and you are listening to the one and only MTG in Quarantine Podcast, where the motto is EDH, community, now and always. As usual, before we get started here, I'm going to give a quick shout out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to utilize this opportunity to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. It's a huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Row for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And you can pick up your very own MTG in Quarantine branded playmat over at Inked Gaming. That is inkedgaming.com. Got two really awesome versions, both the full color logo as well as the grayscale version. They both look killer. You're going to want one for you and all of your friends. So go on over to Inked Gaming. That is inkedgaming.com. You can utilize the affiliate code in the link tree in the episode description to help support the channel. Every bit of support is greatly appreciated. All right, well, it's that time of the year here. It is the official MagicCon Minneapolis review thread, where I'm basically going to talk about all the fun that I had at MagicCon Minneapolis this past weekend in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and just talk for, 15 to 20 minutes about everything that I experienced and all the fun that I had. So normally I go into extreme detail with these sorts of events, but given the fact that I'm still extremely exhausted after traveling, I'm going to try to keep it a little bit short today. So anyway, get started here is I had the great honor and privilege to be a featured content creator at MagicCon Minneapolis. This was an awesome experience. I got the opportunity to sit at the Creator Corner, which, if you were not at the event, was a small creator booth, I suppose, in the free play area near where the Pro Tour was being played. And creators like myself would have an hour to sit at the booth. There were three creators, or, three groups of creators, sitting down there at one time for hour-long time slots, signing merch for fans, and also just playing Magic, utilizing products sponsored by Wizards of the Coast. So my signing slot was on 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. on Sunday. Obviously, Sunday wasn't quite as busy as it was on Saturday, but still, it was an awesome experience. I had a bunch of cool people come by and play an extremely modified version of PyGow. So if you're familiar with the format of PyGow, you typically take a booster pack, you split that booster pack up into 5 3-card piles, and then you try to have short Magic games using those and see if you can take out your opponent, with the rules being you only have those 3 cards in your library for any given game. You have 5 life, infinite mana, you can cast as many spells as you have the ability to, and it's best 3 out of 5 typically. What I did was, myself and my opponent would open a 15-card pack, or 12-card if it was a set booster pack, there were some of those mixed in, and we would shuffle them up, not including the token, but including the basic land. And not the art cards, obviously, because those are not legal for play anywhere. But anyway, so we shuffle those up, we would draw 3 cards, and then we effectively just have a Magic game using the rest of the pack as our library, 5 life, infinite mana, and we would typically follow the regular Magic rules. And had some very, very interesting games out of there. I remember seeing someone dropping a foil cityscape leveler on turn 1 of the game, and that was a really fun experience, given the fact that that's actually a fairly valuable card out of Brothers War, I believe. At least $10, at least, from what I remember seeing, and a very big, powerful 8-8 trampler who, on turn 2 is going to kill me. Fortunately, I had a way to copy the cityscape leveler on attack at instant speed, create a token block, then they both died. So it was basically a very overcosted removal spell, but hey, I'm not going to complain on there. I survived a little while longer. There was another game where my opponent, shout out to Looter Scooter on Twitter here, pulled a, gosh, I'm trying to remember what the card is out of Brothers War. I'm going to have to go on Scryfall here, but effectively told me before the game started that, you know, the game's over on turn one. And I'm just wondering, well, you know, what the heck? How is this even possible? You know, it's unless you have a way to be able to do five damage directly to my face with one card, which is certainly possible. Because again, when you have infinite mana, you can do basically anything you want. You know, there's nothing stopping you from just being able to utilize one of those super overcosted common removal spells or direct damage spells to just kill you. And, oh, there we go. It was Skitterbeam Battalion. So it's a 9-cost Brothers War Mythic. 4/4 construct, has prototypes, so you can cast a spell for 3 red-red instead, where it's a 2/2. 4/4 Trample and Haste if you cast it for 9, and says when Skitterbeam Battalion enters the battlefield, if you cast it, create 2 tokens that are copies of it. So as you can tell, Looter Scooter could basically hit me with 12 damage on turn 1. And yeah. We ended up playing a second game there because there was really nothing I could do with that. That was fun, but yeah, there's a whole bunch of other cool stuff that I got to do there. Play a whole bunch of fun cards you wouldn't normally necessarily get to play in even in limited. A lot of overcosted cards, but again. It was really fun to be able to play that my modified version of PyGal because we had the infinite mana. We could literally just play our entire hands. There was a game where I ended up having 3 lands in my entire pack. I had the basic land you get. I had an Evolving Wilds, which in Brothers... Well, actually, was it Brothers War? No. It had to be Merchant Machine. Well, whatever. But the point is, I had the basic land. I had the Evolving Wilds, which is in as seeded in as a common. And then my list card, so it must have been a set booster, was Maze's End. So, as you can imagine, I was able to crack the Evolving Wilds to go find my basic, you know, basically deck thinning myself, play the gate in the Maze's End, and, you know, when I was being attacked for lethal, just tap it, shuffle my library, and then die. So... You know, fun little things you could do with that. I didn't look at the cards I was playing with. I just took the art card, the token, if there was one, out of the pack, shuffled it up, and just set it down and played. And honestly, I had a ton of fun doing that. It was great being able to play. And of course, my guests would always walk away with the contents of both packs. So there were some spicy cards pulled, including Phyrexian Obliterator from All Will Be One. That I had played in my deck that actually helped me win a game, funnily enough. Anyway, so yeah, it was a lot of fun being at the Creator Corner. I got to hang out there with Queer Phyrexia and Cairo MTG. Didn't get a chance to really hang out with them too much at the corner because we were all pretty busy playing games with separate folks, but it was great hanging out with them, and hope to maybe be able to get them on the content here at some point soon and talk about our experiences in more detail. Queer Phyrexia did bring Yargle Bargle, which is kind of a fun takeoff on Dandan, if you've heard of that. Effectively, 80-card shared deck with, instead of having 10 cards of Forgetful Fish of Dandan, you get 10 copies of Yargle. And of course, everyone loves to bargle with Yargle, so that unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to play that, but I was, eventually, if we run into each other again, I would love to play Yargle Bargle, so... Just a fun little thought there. Again, huge thanks to Wizards of the Coast for having me on as a featured content creator. It was awesome. I loved having a creator badge. It was my first time at a Wizard-sanctioned event being a content creator. I had a blast. And yeah, even after my time spent at the booth there, I did get to be Booster Pack Fairy. And I had a bunch of packs that I was given to just hand out to random players throughout the event space, and I got to hand them out to a bunch of kids. As well, I was walking by the Magic Kids booth. They had a couple of kids learning how to play Magic for the first time, and I was able to give both of them a booster pack and definitely make their day on that one. and just, you know, walk through the command zone that was happening, stop random groups who looked like they were about to start playing a game, ask them to roll a d6, and assign each one of them numbers from 1 to 4, 5 or 6 was a reroll, and hand out just a random booster pack. And that was a lot of fun because, you know, I'm able to basically give out these door prizes to unsuspecting folks, and it was really cool to just be able to hand out that product and make someone's day. So, yeah, again, huge shout out to Wizards of the Coast for inviting me, and another even huger shout out to Deanna and Annie for allowing that Creator Corner to run so efficiently and smoothly. They were awesome to work with, and I look forward to potentially working with them in the future at a future event. So that was pretty awesome. Anyway, moving on from the Creator Corner, I got to play a lot of Magic and meet a lot of people I had either met before at previous events or was meeting for the very first time. Again, there's so many people I could give a shout out to that there's just no way I can give a shout out to everybody. So I'm just going to kind of go in logical order here. On Saturday, I did cosplay as the Tireless Tracker, which again is my signature cosplay costume. I did not participate in the cosplay contest for multiple reasons, but anyway, I did get to watch the cosplay contest. Congratulations to all the winners there, especially Magic Misha Migo for winning Best in Show with Slimefoot. That was super awesome, and got to talk to them after that. I got a picture with them, and then the next day got a chance to have a longer conversation and just talk about, you know, the contest, the implications of winning Best in Show, and just, you know, how awesome that costume was. So, again, if you're interested in checking that out, I highly recommend looking up Magic Misha Migo. They're a cosplayer of multiple different franchises, but one of the most recent definitely is Magic the Gathering. And hopefully you will be hearing that name more often in the future. Hopefully we'll be an invited guest here at some point for one of the future Wizards Cons. So, awesome congratulations for the victory, as well as to all of the winners in the various categories, some of whom I've already met at various events, and just some interesting newcomers, including the novice winner, who ended up cosplaying as Minsk and Boo, and won the novice category partially because throwing small hamster plushes into the audience well up on stage there, and the crowd just went wild. It was crazy. So shout out to Collector Protech for the victory there. Anyway, so yeah, I got to have a lot of fun cosplaying, got some pictures, got to catch up with Ninja Puffed, who I originally bumped into in Philly because we were both cosplaying as Gerard Capuchin. And I knew that they were going to be at this event, so we were able to run into each other on Saturday morning and get a picture with each other. Obviously, I wasn't wearing my Gerard costume, but the original idea was if I was wearing my Gerard costume, we'd have to do the Spider-Man meme where we're pointing at each other, but I ultimately realized I'd rather go with Tireless Tracker because that's more what people know me for. So that was an artistic decision on my part. So outside the cosplay contest, which was amazing, I'm glad that I was able to catch it this time. I missed it in Philadelphia, so I was able to catch it this time. Cosplay was awesome. Got to see a lot of the same folks I saw in Philly there, and got to meet some new people. Shout out to Scratch Kitten and Scrapper Ferret for one. I've known them on Twitter for a while now, but I actually got to meet them in person for the first time, which is pretty cool, and get to see Scrapper Ferret cosplay as a Johnny. That was really awesome. And moving on. So as far as the gameplay was concerned, I got a lot of games in. Got, I believe, a dozen games, maybe 13 games in for the weekend. Picked up 4 victories, so I can't complain too badly. Boost my yearly win percentage, I suppose. But yeah, I just got to have a lot of fun with folks. I took my 4 favorite or, you know, most played decks this time around. Typically, I end up kind of excruciatingly have to think about what decks do I want to take, what are some of my favorite decks, and then some decks that I don't usually play. I try to sometimes find decks that I never take to conventions and take those. So it's always a decision. And this time I realized, you know what, why don't I just take my favorite decks? That way everything gets played, and I get a chance to just jam with folks and really, you know, go all out. So I did take my 4 favorite decks. those being Kothfed Soul Hoarder, who, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, you know is my favorite deck in all the world. I just love that deck. Even if it doesn't win, it does funny things. I even died on turn 5 or turn 6 this weekend to a board wipe and killing 40 plant or 40 forest tokens, I believe, something like that. Yeah, and I died on turn 6 with Kothfed on the board. So, you know, whatever, it happens. But it's that funny blow-up story where, you know, I had the board wipe in my hand. I could have blown up the board earlier and just taken myself out of the game. So, fun stuff. Kothfed didn't exactly do the best this weekend, but oh well. I took Alenda, the Dusk Rose, which is fast becoming one of my favorite decks after rebuilding it. It did some really funky things. Got a couple of victories with that. Fun deck. Got to play one of my old favorites, and I haven't played it in a while, and then rediscovered the fun in Indianapolis a few weeks ago, Selenia Dark Angel. I don't really talk about Selenia too much, except I did do an episode with Coach J-Ro talking about how our Selenia decks were very different, I believe a couple of years ago. So if you're interested in hearing an episode on how different people build different decks, you should definitely go check that out on the backlog. Again, you can find those on the usual podcast outlets. And that deck is really fun because it utilizes life gain, life loss synergies. And I also got to blow myself up using Selenia's Return to Hand ability multiple times during the weekend. Always get a nice, fun little laugh out of that one. So, love that deck. Really, really glad to have rediscovered it effectively in my rotation of decks, as well as my Boros Archangel Avacyn deck, which got to do the thing one game out of two, but it did that quite efficiently. So, yeah, got to take all four of those decks, took an Oathbreaker deck, but didn't end up playing it, and yeah, just had fun playing Magic. Got to play with some awesome folks. Had a five-player game to start off with the one James Jaffer MTG, or Jaffer TV, I suppose. I think they've changed their name recently on Twitter. What was really cool about the five-player game there was got to introduce a longtime 60-card competitive player to EDH for the first time. And after talking with him afterwards, he seemed to enjoy it immensely and hopefully will continue to play EDH here in the future. So shout out to Nate Fennelly for taking the plunge into the EDH end of the pool and thoroughly enjoying it. So hopefully we've converted you to the fun side, or, you know, another fun side of Magic. So, and again, nothing against the 60-card formats. I'm an EDH player myself, so, you know, hopefully Nate will continue to be playing EDH here for a long time to come. And it's awesome I was able to be a part of someone's first EDH game. All right, moving on. So yeah, I got to meet a ton of people, and again, I've known a lot of them from various other cons, whether it was Philly, Magic Summit, last year at Bellevue, the Command Fest Bellevue, or just, you know, being online. Got to see a lot of old friends, and then make a whole bunch of new connections, or, you know, meet people for the first time. So a shout out to Mike the Wild Speaker, who does amazing things with the Games Club Kids game at school. I don't remember if it's middle school or high school, but anyway, big shout out to what he's doing over there. I got to meet Levdev for the first time in person, who has been a somewhat frequent collaborator here on this show. So it was great to meet him for the first time. Just a bunch of other folks who I didn't get pictures with, but who I have interacted with or seen on Twitter before. So got to get to hang out with them, and then just hang out with all the usual folks. Who I see at all these conventions. So another shout out to folks like Bobby Christine, Veggie Wagon. Again, just so many people that I don't really have the time to go over, because there's just a long list of folks. Bert from the Scrap Trawlers, Lenny from the Scrap Trawlers, Andy Zupke from the Scrap Trawlers. Got to meet him for the first time. The guys from Commander Cookout. Ryan and Brando, got to play a couple of games with Ryan. Just so many folks. I'm not going to go into that, because there'd be at least 50 people I would name drop here. So I'm going to stop myself there. But again, if I met you or ran into you at Magic 30 and Magic Con Minneapolis, it was so awesome meeting or seeing you again. And I hope that we can gather again soon. because it just had a lot of fun. Another perk of being a creator was this time getting to go to the official after party. So at 8 o'clock on Saturday after the con, all the Black Lotus, so all the main VIP folks and you know the higher up badge holders went to this party at a brewery. Three-story brewery. Downstairs was the bar, kind of a chill hangout space. The second floor was karaoke. And the third floor was just a crazy dance party. I went up to all three floors, got to hang out with a bunch of folks downstairs. Went up, saw some karaoke. I cut pretty much the tail end of the karaoke, but that's okay. And I went up to the dance floor for a little bit. Got to see a lot of my fellow cosplayers up there, which is really awesome. And I also got to watch Gavin Verhey dance, which was kind of fun. Fun stuff. And yeah, just had a lot of fun at the after party. And yeah, we'll see if future events I'll go to that again. So, you know, memorable stuff. And I got to see a whole bunch of fun other things happen, different interactions. Lots of people. I got to watch Veggie Wagon dress up as a gingerbread man, so basically Ginger Brute, getting chased by Garrick. And then also chasing Garrick through the lines at the merch booth with Garrick's axe. And it was absolutely hilarious. I have videos on my phone. You can probably also find, I believe those, you can find those either on Twitter or on TikTok. I don't have a TikTok, so unfortunately I don't know. But I don't know for sure, but again, they were hilarious videos. And anyway, so the last thing I'm going to talk about is just the Minneapolis setup. It was an amazing setup. What was really cool about this particular event was the fact that the command zone wasn't off limits to folks getting the cheap weekend pass. So as long as you had a pass, you could get into the command zone and play there. So most of the weekend, the command zone was buzzing. You struggled, especially on Saturday, you couldn't find a spot to play at. So you would have to go to the free play area or go into some of the unused tournament space. Just a ton of people playing EDH and Commander, and just really awesome to be able to see that, both casual and competitive. And it was awesome to be able to see that there was improved access. So definitely something Wizards learned after Philly. Unfortunately, there was a lot of criticism there. Coming out of Philadelphia, that it was technically the command zone was behind a paywall. Well, that was rectified very well this time and was awesome. So I'm glad to say that Wizards was able to listen to that advice and took care of the problem. And yeah, there was a fun little area, not necessarily for the cosplay lairs like they had back in Philly, but the cosplayers were wandering around more, which is nice. That was a great. They had a giant Cheevan dragon that would occasionally make very loud roaring sound effects and had some fun little lights. That was cool. And yeah, just a very nice convention center with some very fancy roof features. Kind of looked like the Metrodome a little bit. If you know sports at all, Minnesota used to have the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, and it had a fairly similar design concept in the, not of the inflatable roof part, but definitely Minneapolis Convention Center had a very domed ceiling in some of the halls and just reminded me of the Metrodome a little bit from what I'd seen back in the day as a kid. So yeah, very, very nice space, beautiful convention center. It was awesome to be able to go there. It was huge. The show floor was huge. And I found myself going back and forth between the free play area and the main event area so often. And it was awesome. So big shout out to the convention center and all the convention center staff for making sure we had a very enjoyable con experience. Again, another big shout out to Wizards of the Coast, all of their staff and their crew for making this memorable experience happen. And then a big shout out to all of my fellow content creators and just all of the folks who attended the event for just making this an awesome weekend. And yeah, what more can I say about this? It was an awesome convention. I put a few pictures up on my Twitter if you're interested in seeing those. I also have a lot of pictures I didn't upload, but again, you know, not every picture is going to make the headlines. But again, I love each and every one because they remind me of all the fun I had. Huge shout out to all the folks, my fellow creators, who I got to meet for the first time or got to run into again. You know, you're really the reason why I do this podcast. is I really going to conventions like this really helps make me feel like part of the community. And the fact that we can all be feel like long-term friends, even though we've met each other once or even maybe just three times. The fact that we're all such, you know, the fact we're all such good friends is awesome. And I enjoy being part of the community. Community is a huge part of this podcast, and I just love being a part of it. And I can't wait to go to more events in the future. All right, so that about wraps things up here. I'm going to give another huge shout out and thank you to all the awesome people who support me over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. So huge round of thank yous to Mr. Big Bence, Nick S., Frugal Brutal, and Coach J-Ro for supporting the show. If you'd like to help support the show and help me make more awesome content, head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. And I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.